Number of festivals going on this Labor Day weekend in and around Chicago, one of them being Taste of Polonia.
Oh, yeah.
Closing Avondale between Lawrence and Ainslie. That's going to be closed until early Tuesday morning. So that's going to go on today and tomorrow, evidently.
The Copernicus Center there.
Right, right. Taste of Polonia. Avondale closed between Lawrence and Ainslie. And for personalized traffic.
Make me play a polka music.
Why not?
Can make me play some polka music.
Do you have any Frankie Yankovic?
I could find some.
In the Polka Kings handy there?
We have a nice library of Frankie Yankovic music here.
All kinds
of Weird Al Yankovic.
We're the only... We've got all the Yankovics you want.
Yes. For personalized...
Remember back there was that short period when our radio format was all Yankovic all the time. We still have those vinyl records.
We don't have anything to play them on in
no.
here anymore.
Shwani dancing in there. I bet you're quite the polka dancer, Shwani. Would that be correct?
I enjoyed it back in my youth.
Love to get out on the dance floor and
twirl
your favorite gal around.
Yes, and I twisted her ankle once, and she never danced with me again.
That'll do it. Only takes once. Got to take him to the emergency room once, and that pretty much does it.
Yeah, as I was told, Fred Astaire, you're not.
Back when I was a Ute, we had a Wurlitzer organ in our house.
Oh my goodness!
And I was able to play a pretty mean clarinet polka. This is the clarinet
polka. Did you
play
the organ?
I could play this. I could play this on the organ, I'll bet, still.
Oh, we've got to get a Wurlitzer organ in here.
But also, we had that, when we had gotten this organ, that effect on the organ that went...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
imitating a cymbal.
Yeah, so I played sort of a Spanish version of clarinet.
Term for that on these organs. I don't remember
what it was called.
Yeah.
This is the Jimmy Starr Orchestra with some lovely clarinet polka to start the show today.
Oh, nice.
In honor of Taste of Polonia that's going on this weekend. That's a fun... Have you ever gone?
No, I have not been there. I know where it is, but I haven't been up to it.
It is fun. I mean, live music, live dancing is the best kind of dancing that there is, by the way. It definitely beats the alternative.
Yeah, pre-recorded dancing.
Well, I was thinking dead dancing is what I was thinking of as live as opposed to.
There's going to be an app someday. Will you be able to dance with your app? Just hold the phone in your hand and dance, if there isn't already.
But aside from the music and the dancing and, you know, there's carnival games and, but, oh, the food.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Homemade pierogies and galumpkis and all the keys.
All the sausage and everything. Yes, sir.
That's a good fest right there.
Yep, yep. We've got a number of them going on.
Yes,
we'll mention
them. We'll talk about those.
Continues.
We'll talk about those. But speaking of fest, you've been at a jazz fest. Have you been pretty much every day?
No, I made it a point to be there last night for a number of reasons. But Friday night, the storm rolled in. Diane Reeves, who's one of the finest jazz singers out there right now.
Yeah, man.
They had to pull the plug because of the thunder and lightning there. Not long after that program began, and they had to call it off because of lightning. The Park District always does that. Rain, you know, showers and so forth, you're kind of on your own. Bring an umbrella. But when there's lightning out there, no, they call the show.
And there have been plenty of that the last couple of days.
Yes.
Last night was like a fireworks display in the sky. I'm actually surprised that it didn't rain downtown last night, given the amount of thunder and lightning that was taking place.
Yeah, it was to the north.
As Ramsey Lewis was playing last night, and that one you were also there last night.
I was there, and he just was amazing, amazing. And not only with Ramsey himself, but with the band he was with, the Urban Knights, terrific group. And he played that, he played the In Crowd.
One hip cat right there, man. Ramsey is the king as far as I'm concerned.
You had a great time talking.
Had a very nice conversation with him at his apartment in Streeterville earlier this week. We're going to share that on the program coming up later on.
Can I mention a couple of songs that he just really
tore through
and played beautifully?
Yeah. He's 83 years old and has not lost a step, of his musical prowess and fluidity and the beauty of his playing.
He has a warm style of playing the piano. Yeah. It's very warm, but he did a lot of different things. He talked a lot about Maurice White and Earth, Wind, and Fire,
right?
Because Maurice was with him for a time, played some Earth, Wind, and Fire things, but he did a beautiful rendition of an old stylistic song called Betcha by Golly Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that one?
Oh, I love that song.
And then Brought Down the House with Living for the City, Stevie Wonder's,
right.
Woo. And then concluded finally,
Betcha by golly, wow.
You're the one that I've been waiting for forever.
I want to do that. I want to do the stylistics unison dancing.
Get out the slow dance golly, records.
Wow. Living for the city.
Oh, unbelievable. A Charles Heath drum solo.
Wow.
Just
what was the third one that he did?
Living for the City.
Yeah.
Betcha by golly, wow. But then, after the In Crowd, he said, well, that was supposed to be the end, but you folks are so into this. Let me tell you about the song I did with Maurice White. It's called Sun Goddess.
Oh.
Told the story about that. Well.
How that almost didn't happen.
Everybody was singing along with that. It was just amazing.
Yeah, he tells many of those stories in the interview that I did with him. And the main, really sort of one of the main reasons that, we sat down. Number one, I hadn't seen Ramsey in quite a few years. As you know, I worked with him.
Yes.
Over at
the other radio station.
At the Casa del Smooth joint. where I found out, I never knew this, that they used to yell at Ramsey Lewis about playing music.
Oh, come on.
When I used to get yelled at all the time over there. That you would expect. They used to yell at me all the time because I would sneak in songs that I wasn't supposed to be playing.
I remember you doing that over there.
Because,
I was on the air with you one morning. I think we started playing Miles Davis or something. And they didn't like that.
Right, right. They wanted like Kenny G and Yanni.
Yeah.
And, all that. And then I wanted to play like an Oscar Peterson song once in a while, or a Miles Davis song, or as some people like Shawnee and I might call it, actual jazz. Yes. But so I used to get yelled at all the time. But what I learned. Hold on.
Oh, you just had to play that, didn't you?
Hey, it's a smooth morning at WG. What I learned is that they also used to yell at Ramsey all the time.
I can't believe that.
For playing Oscar Peterson, for playing
Ella Fitzgerald.
Ella Fitzgerald, and, for playing classic jazz songs. That he told me that he also got grief constantly from the same manager that used to yell at me all the time.
I never knew that. And the interesting thing
is. Now, wait a minute. How do you hire Ramsey Lewis to be one of your hosts? And you don't want him to play the music that he wants to play.
And why do you hire...
I get it if you don't want me to play the music I don't want to play. What do I know?
But why do you hire Ramsey Lewis? For his expertise in music.
Exactly.
And the fact that he's known.
Tell it, Shawnee.
Internationally.
Yeah, Daddy-O, tell it.
It's also interesting that when they play that music,
buzz,
everybody likes
my
it.
Buzz. Yeah, that's enough of that.
Thank you.
But you had a fun time last night. I'm sorry I couldn't be there. I had a previous commitment.
Oh, it was just amazing. Packed place. They were just, you could not find a seat in the seating area of the pavilion. The lawn was very packed. I was backstage and out in front.
Look at you. Look at you, Mr. Insider.
Both areas there.
Swanee back there stealing radishes and celery off the vegetable plate. Hey, Ramsey's on stage. I can take whatever I want.
Where'd that food go?
I'm going to take a couple extra bottles of water, too.
I did, as a matter of fact.
Of course you did.
But, it was amazing. And when I said everybody was singing along on Sun Goddess, the wordless vocals there, you know, way-o, way-o, yeah. Everybody was doing it. The backstage crew, the audience, cool. We were all into it. It was amazing.
That's very cool. Very, very, yeah. Very cool. Did you see some of the former WNUA staff people?
I saw a couple.
They had a big reunion there last night.
Yeah, I saw a couple that were there. Yeah.
They were easy to point out because they're all like 70 years old now and smell like patchouli. So
they were all asking about you.
Of course they were. I bet they were. there was Luke Bryan was in Chicago last night. I hear they evacuated the field at one point because of lightning and thunder and all that. We'll find out more about that later. But it's an incredibly busy weekend in Chicago. We'll talk more about all of these things. Plus, my one-on-one conversation with the great Ramsey Lewis is coming up. Later on. Okay, they're not 70 years old and smell like patchouli. They're 65 and smell like patchouli. Brian at Wrigley Field last night. This is not a recording from Wrigley Field last night, but he was performing there among the many, many things going on around the Chicago area for this weekend, and getting some texts, messages, some emails from people telling me how much they love the show. But as I had mentioned in the city last night, we really didn't get that much rain last night, but it was quite a thunder and lightning show. And 708 area code says that they evacuated the field and the seats that were out in the open during the lightning, wondering where all those people went. It looked like they filled out the area under the bleachers, but still a great area is what they're saying there last night. So good to know. Good time apparently had by all their... Last night, we'll talk more about the concerts that you can go to today and tomorrow. There's still plenty going on in the Chicago area. We've got a lot going on today. I was doing some grilling on TV the other day. I don't know if you saw on the WGN Morning News. We grilled up a storm of seafood, of pizza, of pork tenderloin. I did three different pork tenderloins on the grill. All the recipes are up on my Facebook page, Dean Richards WGN. If you search Dean Richards WGN on Facebook, you can take a look at my recipes. You can actually see me doing some of the grilling. But we're going to talk more about that coming up later on. I've got a few things to say about the memorials that have taken place over the past few days, Senator John McCain's and also Aretha Franklin's. We've got a lot going on today until White Sox baseball, which is pregame, will start at 12:30 today. So I hope you'll stick around all morning long. It's Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. Coming up, we have got our far-flung forecast. You know, I filled in for you last week.
You did?
On the far-flung forecast.
What did you choose?
I don't remember.
It was memorable.
Yeah, I can tell.
It was fantastic. That's all I can say. I was flooded with emails, people saying I had no idea how easy it is to do the far-flung forecast. All this time, I thought you spent weeks preparing each one. And it turns out, really, in about 30 seconds, you can pull one off.
Depending on what's going on.
Depending on the subject matter.
Yeah.
So you have a good one for us today?
Yes, I do.
If you didn't, would you tell us?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't say, nah, I don't want to. I don't have a good
one. Yeah, that's a pretty junky one today.
Kind of skip it.
Don't listen.
No, this is a good one.
Okay.
And actually, it has, it's related to the trip that we took the week before last.
That you and your dad took?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I want to find out more about that also. And see if how much your dad called me like 3-4 times, like, can you get rid of him? He's driving
me. That's why he kept leaving the
room. He's driving me nuts. Can you call him and tell him there's an emergency at work so I can enjoy this trip? Let's get the latest news now at 9:32. Here's Dave Schwann.
Another festival for you. We have a closure at Lincoln Avenue between Roscoe and Addison and Ravenswood for the Cider and Sliders Festival.
Hmm.
That's until tomorrow morning.
Hmm.
The Cider and Sliders Festival.
Where is this now?
Lincoln Avenue between Roscoe and Addison, Ravenswood Avenue there.
Sliders and...
Cider and Sliders.
Cider and Sliders.
Yeah. Say that real fast.
I can't even say it once.
Sliders and ciders and spiders.
I wonder what... Oh, my.
Woo!
I wonder what happens at such a festival. I've never heard of this one.
You drink cider and eat sliders. That's what happens at that festival.
Thank you for explaining.
Seemed pretty simple to me, too.
I'm guessing...
Oh, I can
that
see
there might
you
be
now.
A little more to this.
Oh, you moved the camera, by the way. I didn't touch the camera. I can now see you in Studio A.
It's quite a treat, isn't it, today?
It's lovely.
Can you see me? I moved my camera, too.
Where is Andy?
I'm all the way.
Andy's
out of
range.
He's out at the ballpark right now.
He's at the ballpark. Yes.
For personalized traffic.
Schwanny, there are 30 different ciders and miniature burgers featured.
And you can eat and drink all of them.
Yeah, so basically what Andy just said.
Ones? Yeah. 30 different ones?
Yes, 30 different cider. No, wait a minute. I'm on their official website right now. Ciderandsliders.com. And it says, on here, it says 50-plus ciders.
Wow.
50-plus ciders and a showcase of tasty sliders.
Man, isn't that a good preparatory for fall?
Yeah, that's a good autumnal.
Cider. Yeah.
Now, I wonder what kind of ciders there are.
Oh, there's...
I only know apple cider.
Apple cider.
Are there different
cider,
kinds of ciders?
There are. Yeah. There's peach cider. Yeah, different fruits that they've made cider with.
What's the difference between cider and juice?
Hell, that's a good question. The juice would be like an orange juice or a grapefruit.
I know it, but you get apple cider from the juice of an apple, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then there's hard cider.
That's with alcohol.
Yes.
Okay.
Cider usually has more of a kick to it, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
It does. It has a tartness.
Apple juice has a different tartness than...
Apple juice
cider?
Is sweeter, yeah. And I don't think it's sat around as much.
And then sometimes you see apple cider, which is, you know, it's brown, but it's clear. And sometimes it looks like dirty bathwater.
Oh, great.
You know what
Boy,
I mean?
They're going to love you at this festival.
You know what I mean? It does.
That's the 54th cider they had at this festival.
That's the one that they decided not to put
that's
in? That's the one that didn't make it in the lineup.
Yeah,
like, I'm going to think about that every time I have a glass of cider now. This
Bon appetit.
Dirty bathwater. For personalized traffic.
Don't forget to sniff the bouquet.
I think that's the band that's performing there. Dirty bathwater.
For personalized traffic on demand, you can get the Traffic Chicago app. Approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg, just search TRAFFIX Chicago. And the forecast...
I just like to ask these questions. I don't expect us to
You're a very inquisitive man.
I just like to put out the question. The Andy Rooney of WGN. What if they made cider that looked like dirty bathwater?
Did you ever notice it just looks like dirty bathwater? The forecast from the WGN.
Again, enjoy your breakfast, everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, our far-flung forecast takes us out west, way out west to Alma, Colorado.
Yeehaw! Get on, little doggies.
Alma, Colorado.
A-L-M-A?
A-L-M-A.
Alma, Colorado.
One of the first residents there. And was founded in 1873. Population 275.
Yep. Okay.
There are a number of reasons why we bring up Alma today. There was gold first discovered in them Nar Hills in Buckskin Gulch around Alma, Colorado. And also, it has calaboose. You know what a calaboose is?
What'd you just call me?
I didn't call you anything. One of the first orders of business when they formed Alma was to build a calaboose.
What? I have no idea what a calaboose is.
A jail.
Oh.
They call it a calaboose.
A hooskow?
A hooskow. You're in jail.
I've never heard of Andy, have you ever heard it called a calaboose?
Calaboose?
I have never heard that before.
You've never heard of calaboose?
No.
Oh, well,
20 partner, makes half of this stuff up.
Well, partner, you're going to have to get educated.
Calaboose.
A calaboose.
Have you been drinking cider?
You know, Barney got intoxicated on some of the hard cider on Andy Griffith once.
I do know that. Yes, I do.
Now, the reason we bring up Alma, in spite of discovering gold in Buckskin Gulch and the fact that it was founded in 1873, seriously, Alma, Colorado is the highest incorporated town in North America. It is at 10,578 feet. So in all of North America, it is the highest elevated town.
Hmm.
It's that high. And quite nice, too. We drove through Alma during our trip the week before last. That's very pretty country.
Is this your way of writing off your trip as a tax deduction?
Yeah,
by bringing this up on the air?
I hadn't thought of that. That's a very good idea.
You now you talked about it on the air. I think you can deduct the whole trip now.
I think we can deduct the whole trip. All right. I will get out the proper forms for IRS.gov.
If not, we'll see you in the calaboose.
Most likely you will. Yes. A very nice day, though, but chilly. 42 degrees in Alma.
Ooh.
Partly sunny skies. Well, you're at 10,000 feet.
Right.
I can tell you, when you get up to that elevation and then go down just a little ways, you can have a 30-degree temperature difference. And we did when we were in Rocky Mountain National Park. Amazing.
So tell us the route that you and your dad went on. It was quite a journey.
We started in New Mexico, flew into Albuquerque, and rented a car and drove to Santa Fe, spent a couple of days in Santa Fe, which is, you've been there, Dean. It's an awesome place to go.
Yeah, it's completely lovely. I was shocked at how small the airport was there.
Yeah, right. And
I expected it to be like Midway or, you know, mm-hmm. not a huge airport, but it was like Migs Field. Used to be.
Right.
It's a tiny, tiny little airport. You get in and out very quickly. It's very nice, but I was just expecting more there, I guess.
Yeah, and you have to get a connecting flight to
almost anywhere.
Yeah, right. Yeah. They don't want direct flights in and out of Santa Fe. But then we headed north, went through northern New Mexico and into Colorado, all the way up to Rocky Mountain National Park.
Mm.
And along that route, we had to pass through Alma, Colorado to get there. So when we did that and I saw the sign that said it is the highest incorporated town in North America, I said, that's it. That's the far-flung.
There's my far-flung forecast
when I get home.
/ tax deduction.
That's right. That's right. And I also like to say calaboose.
Hey, look, there's a calaboose. You like to say what?
I like to say calaboose.
Calaboose.
Oh, I enjoy saying the word also.
And Buckskin Gulch.
Here's a little calaboose fun fact for you. As Shwani said, it is a prison, a common jail or lockup by definition, although Andy and I have never heard of this.
Never.
Ever. It's a word that is Spanish in origin from the Spanish word.
That makes sense.
From the Spanish word calabozo.
Okay.
Which means dungeon.
Okay, see? You see how the correlation there?
Yep. I like that bozo is part of
the bozo.
Yes, original word calabozo. Calabozo means dungeon. Have we fulfilled the educational requirement of today's program?
Well, one of the guards at the calabozo is named Oliver O'Oliver. So.
Wow. Shwani doesn't usually get two obscure 60s references in one bit, but he did today. He's rested. You could tell he's rested from his vacation.
Rested. Oh, yeah. And it's only 10 minutes to 10.
You're telling me. Are we done?
Yes, we're done.
Don't you have to say something?
Oh, yes, that's right. I do, don't I? I am Dave Schwann in the WGN Radio Newsroom, and this is the stuff that matters, calaboose and all.
Calabozo.
Calabozo on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
9:51, Dean Richards, Sunday morning. Talking about cider here this morning, the Cider and Slider Fest that is going on. Looks like in the sort of in the Roscoe Village neighborhood. It's on Lincoln between Addison and Roscoe that Schwanee was talking about. 3500 North Lincoln actually is where it is centered. And if I'm not mistaken, 3500 North Lincoln, I believe, is where you find your Palina meat market.
Yep, Lincoln and Palina.
I'm pretty sure that that's where it is. One of my favorite places, although I haven't been there in a while. It's one of the most delightful food markets that there are, meat markets that there is. But anyway, so you know, people obviously are texting in tons of questions, tons of opinions on this, and people say that apple cider has fruit pulp and apple juice is filtered. I asked what the difference was. Apple cider has fruit pulp, apple juice is filtered. I don't think that's true. That doesn't seem, because there's juice that has fruit pulp in it. And I'm pretty sure that there's cider that is filtered. I don't think that's entirely the case.
Orange juice has pulp in it a lot.
Yeah.
And I prefer it that way.
Yeah, I like it with the pulp, too. Somebody's texted in that the difference is fermentation. So I looked it up. Here it is. It says, cider is an alcoholic beverage which is made from fermented juice of apples. This is the official dictionary on this. Cider is popular in the United Kingdom. The UK has the world's highest per capita consumption of cider. And the juice of any variety of apple can be used to make cider, but cider apples are the best because they have extra sugar that increases the ethanol content of the resulting beverage. I love a good glass of ethanol. I can't speak for anyone else. I enjoy a nice icy glass of ethanol on a hot summer night. So
it's got that bite to it, you know?
It does. It does. Okay, so if this is the official definition, so then what is apple cider that is not an alcoholic beverage? I have so many questions on this. And so little time.
Well, I think fermentation was part of the answer there.
Yeah, but if the fermentation turns it into an alcoholic beverage, what? How do we account for the apple cider that I can go buy at the Jewels?
Well, it's just like I would think it would be like grape juice. You know, it sits for a while, but if it sits long enough,
maybe they
it
cook
ferments
it?
And it turns into wine.
Do they cook the booze out of it?
No, they don't. It depends on how long it sits.
So if I let my apple cider that I buy at the store sit for a while, it'll turn into booze?
Conceivably, yes.
Hmm. Can you finish the show so I can go buy some apple cider?
Andy, come back here. I need you.
I'll be there in a minute. I'm going to go stop off.
Bring some cider, will you?
Yeah, I'll be stopping off.
There obviously must be a difference between hard cider and non-hard cider, right?
Right.
We have no idea what we're talking. We are not letting facts get in our way of disseminating.
Don't let the facts stand in the way of a good story.
Right now.
We can disagree on the facts.
Okay, here's a very lengthy text, so therefore I'm going to assume that it's accurate. 815 area code. Apple juice and apple cider are both fruit beverages made from apples. But there's a difference between the two. Fresh cider is raw apple juice that has not undergone a filtration process to remove coarse particles of pulp or sediment. It takes about a third of a bushel to make a gallon of cider. Hard cider is fermented. Regular cider is not. Okay. I guess that makes sense. But then that brings me back to my original question on this. And believe me, I never thought in a million years I'd be spending this much time on cider today, but I'm curious. So what's the difference between cider and juice?
We need a cider and cider.
We do. We need a cider and cider. Okay, those are the only philosophical questions that I have for today. It's a holiday weekend. I really don't want to think this much. We'll take a break, and Chwani will update the news. Coming up next, WGN. All right, we'll get to news in a second here. We've got our Weekend Theater segment, and still to come on the program later on, One-on-One with Chicago jazz legend Ramsey Lewis. Chwani, I think I have gotten to the bottom of the cider versus slush controversy. Got many texts on this. We've done some research ourselves. Apparently, according to the Massachusetts Department of Agriculture, apple cider is made from apples that are washed, cut, and then ground into apple mash, which is similar to applesauce.
Mm-hmm.
That mash is wrapped in a cloth and then pressed into a juice.
Okay.
Apple juice goes through filtration to remove pulp, and then is pasteurized.
Ah!
Pasteurized to extend the shelf life. Vacuum sealing and additional filtering help it stay fresh longer.
Oh, now, all of that sounds very logical.
I can sleep tonight. Thank goodness. Whew. I was worried.
I still have this image of bathwater, though.
I have a taste for some applesauce right now.
With maybe some cinnamon and nutmeg in it.
And pork chops on the side.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that good? Pork yep. chops and apple. Yeah, yep. Give me some apple.
Pork chops and applesauce.
Yeah, it's applesauce. Humphrey Bogart. Steve Cochran's show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet. Weekday mornings at 7:20. What? We're on time?
How about that?
I'll fix that. 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users say play WGN radio on TuneIn, the news sponsored by Cars for Kids. Here's Dave Schwann.
WGN Sports, Andy Mazur.
Well, Khalil Mack will spend the day counting money. Bears give up first-round picks in 2019 and 2020 to acquire the 27-year-old pass rusher from the Oakland Raiders. He signs a 6-year extension worth $141 million, $90 million of that is guaranteed. The average annual salary computes to $23.5 million. It makes him the highest-paid defensive player in NFL history. And there was a ballpark distribution of a giveaway yesterday in the San Diego Padres. They were giving away beach hats.
Oh.
Well, it was discovered that some of the packaging contained what independent experts believe to be grain beetles.
Oh, my.
So they stopped distribution and switched to rain checks for all their fans. They say in a statement that they've been advised that the grain beetle poses no health risks to humans, but decided to act out of abundance of caution.
Yeah, who doesn't want to put a hat on that's loaded with insects?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's half the fun of going to the ballpark, right?
Come for the swag, stay for the insects.
Stay for the beetles.
The beetles.
This is a different kind of Beatles concert.
It's the,
you know what I'm
the beetles. The beetles.
This is certainly not the Fab Four.
I got Paul in my hat.
All I got to say is, raid! Oh, so there's that. You know, your day can be going a lot better because you don't have beetles in your head.
It never happened at Wrigley Field during Sloppy no. Hat Day.
No way.
Remember Harry Carey used to call, hey there, every Sloppy Hat Day.
Sloppy Hat Day.
Instead of floppy hat. Harry.
Oh, man.
One in a million. Anywho.
Yes, indeed. Okay, where was I going to this? Oh, yeah. On the home of the Blackhawks, Northwestern Wildcats, and White Sox baseball, Andy Mazur, WGN Sports.
20 took a little nap there during the
He was thinking about the Beatles.
Yeah, with the little bathwater to drink on the side there.
What
also.
The heck? What?
Well, your analogy
that we talked about
cider.
5 hours
yeah,
ago, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Not cheap rhetoric from men who will never come near the sacrifice he gave so willingly, nor the opportunistic appropriation of those who lived lives of comfort and privilege while he suffered and served. The America of John McCain is generous and welcoming and bold. She is resourceful and confident and secure. She meets her responsibilities. She speaks quietly because she is strong. America does not boast because she has no need to. The America of John McCain has no need to be made great again because America was always great.
Thunderous applause for Cindy, or Meghan McCain, rather, the daughter of the late Senator John McCain, during the eulogy yesterday, which I thought was obviously very impassioned, very powerful. She's obviously hurting and suffering a lot with the loss of her dad, but it was a beautiful speech that I think encompassed what her dad was to America, what her dad was to her. And she, just like her dad, didn't hold back. She obviously had some comments for Donald Trump, who she has been very public about, saying it's been very disrespectful to her father through the years. So, that's how it all came about. But I watched just about the entire procession. I watched to the point at which they took the casket out of the National Cathedral yesterday and watched all the speeches. And I thought they were all quite beautiful and touching and funny at times. Joe Lieberman's remarks about his very close friend, I thought, were also very heartfelt and poignant and touching. But all of the speeches, I mean, some people are going to say that, you know, they shouldn't have taken shots at Donald Trump. You know, you can all have whatever feelings you want about that. I think we all do. The overwhelming theme of this, the funeral yesterday, was working together, to stop the name-calling and get things done. And who could be against that? Who could be against getting, reaching over the aisle, compromising, and actually getting things done? So I hope that that winds up being the legacy of John McCain. Did you watch some of it, Chwani, you said?
Yes.
Yesterday, you watched some of it as well.
Yeah, oh, sure.
What kind of impressions did you get from
exactly what you were talking about and the impressions I had. And, you know, it was, if I may be a little subjective here, it was saddening to think about the fact that people were talking about this divisiveness. And I think Henry Kissinger alluded to the fact that he was saying that there are things that have gone away that cannot be restored.
Yeah.
That's troubling.
Disturbing.
That is troubling.
That's disturbing.
So, yes, my impressions were that as well, that it was a moving ceremony, as they have been. We've seen state funerals now here in recent years, and people get up to speak, and they talk about coming together and doing the right thing. But when you start to hear about things that have gone away and perhaps can't be restored, that bothers me.
Yeah, that's very disturbing. How wise of John McCain to put together this group of speakers. He personally asked Barack Obama, personally asked George W. Bush, he personally asked Joe Lieberman, the people who spoke and did his eulogies, he asked them to do it. He wanted to send this message that, even my opponents, I'm friends with my opponents. And one of the things also very interesting yesterday that we learned, that there were private meetings at the White House between Barack Obama and Senator McCain, where they would just, sit and talk and have lunch, and nobody knew that this was happening. It wasn't public, but they were both reaching out to the other side, trying to find some common ground to get things done, presumably. And I think if we really want to get things done in America, that's what we need to do. That's the legacy that needs to live out for the day.
That didn't have to happen, those meetings. You know, it would have been rather easy for Senator McCain, not to meet with the president privately, considering, that they were opponents in the election.
Yeah.
A tribute testing to Senator McCain's character. He was either on Letterman or Leno just after the election. And was a total gentleman, and I can remember him saying, "People don't like a sore loser." So he was, he was ready to move on and get things done.
Yeah, he was a classy guy, very very classy guy, and a patriot. He loved America. He put America before anything else. And, you know, so people are going to tear apart the eulogies and over-dissect the eulogies. I don't know how you come out of that and not go, yes, we should really try to work together. Everybody should try to get things done. I don't know how, regardless of what side of the political aisle you're on, I don't know how anybody could not want us to get things done, to reach across the aisle, get things done the way that John McCain was trying to do. I didn't know that Warren Beatty was one of his pallbearers. I'm watching the services, and they had the military honor guard carrying the casket, but just behind the military honor guard were the official pallbearers. And I go, wow, that one guy looks just like Warren Beatty.
And it was Warren.
And it was Warren Beatty. It was Warren Beatty. I guess he was close friends with John McCain, apparently. Who knew? What else did I learn yesterday? That George W. Bush always has a pocket full of candy and is happy to
share it with whoever's sitting next to him.
Share it with whoever's next
to
him.
In this case, it was Michelle Obama.
they took that one shot, and he's like a little kid in school.
Kind of
mischievous little kid, and he's handing candy to Michelle Obama.
Like you're passing a note.
Right
behind you,
and she and Barack are trying to not start laughing.
Oh, she had this smile on her face.
I found his words also, you know, very. That's just the whole thing was so interesting to me.
By the way, he's going to be speaking at the University of Illinois Friday.
Not George W. Bush.
Right, yeah, and he's accepting an award, a Paul H. Douglas Award for ethics in government.
Hmm.
And he'll be speaking about that Friday there. Paul H. Douglas was a senator here in Illinois in the 1950s and 1960s. There is an award named for him for ethics in government.
Yeah. So if anybody's going to go to that speech, bring a pocket full of candy.
I hope you have enough for everybody.
Exactly. David Axelrod tweeting, a couple of tweets to worth noting. The president has tweeted this morning simply the words, "Make America Great Again," presumably responding to Meghan McCain's remarks yesterday that America has always been great. But David Axelrod this morning is tweeting, "How about renaming the Russell Senate building the Kennedy McCain building in honor of two of its most illustrious members, one of each party?" Because there's been talk that they were going to name the Russell Senate office building just for John McCain. David Axelrod suggesting that they name it for both Senator Edward Kennedy and Senator John McCain, both who died of the same neoblastoma brain cancer, exactly the same cancer. So, you know, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen with all that? All right, let's take a break, and then we'll check in with meteorologist Mike Hammernick, see how the rest of this holiday weekend is shaping up. It's Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN.
Hello.
We're going to get to our Week in Theater segment coming up in a couple of minutes. Our pal Betty Moore, a theater critic, will be joining us to talk about some things that she loves and maybe some things that she doesn't love so much. On our text line this morning, lots of you checking in and talking about the McCain funeral yesterday. Some people also texting in about the Aretha Franklin funeral yesterday. People who I won't get into specifics on some of this because it actually gets kind of mean. But some people who only like very traditional and somber funerals, and Aretha Franklin's was more celebratory of her life. There was lots of music. There was lots of music and comments and so forth that you might not find at a more sedate kind of funeral. One thing that I noticed, I guess one of my biggest comments about it, I actually didn't see any of the Aretha Franklin funeral coverage, so I was busy with some family things. But what puzzled me when I heard that there were three different wardrobe changes for Aretha Franklin for the wake. It was an open casket wake, and of each day of the wake, they changed her the clothing that she was wearing. I've never heard of that ever before for any kind of funeral or any kind of wake, any kind of memorial where there are fabulous costume changes. But it did. And, you know, some people are very upset about that. I don't really feel like it's my place to be either upset or not upset by the whole thing. I've just never heard of anything like that before. Regarding the McCain Memorial yesterday, 281 area code says, Dean, regarding the overwhelming theme of working together and compromise, I can understand the reason for taking shots at Trump yesterday. On the other hand, with Ivanka as an invited guest in the congregation, how was the rhetoric not just more examples of bullying? Well, the comments weren't directed at Ivanka Trump. They were, and really, Donald Trump's name wasn't mentioned, although it was more than implied. I don't know how you say what you want to say. I guess I understand what you're saying, that Ivanka Trump might have felt bullied, and certainly she must have felt very uncomfortable when there were statements that were clearly directed at her father. But I don't see how you affect what the body of your eulogy is based on people who are in the audience. I get what you're saying, though, with that, you know, why create an atmosphere of making one of your guests feel uncomfortable. I get that. Here is the 269 area code. Trump was never mentioned by name at McCain services. Evidently, if the shoe fits, Trump must wear it. And let's see. There's a couple of, like, here's another saying that I thought Obama already spoke at U of I this past week and accepted the Ethics Award. It was a private gathering with no press allowed, from the 271 area code, 217 area code, rather. Yeah, so there's a few of the texts that are coming in on all of this. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll get into our Week of Theater segment. Betty Morris standing by to give us a little take on what she likes and doesn't like right now on stage in Chicago, next on WGN. All right, get a little backed up here talking about the coverage yesterday, but let's get a quick update of the rest of the holiday weekend forecast. Meteorologist Mike Hammernick, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Dean. We're starting out today okay after last night's rain. Things have cleared up, and I think we'll spend most of the afternoon dry here. So good news on that front. Today's probably going to be the driest of the three weekend days. Next storm chance won't roll in until about 4 or 5 o'clock. That's when we'll see a few isolated storms bubble up. But the main show tonight is once again going to be overnight. We're more of in a nocturnal type of thunderstorm scenario. So big storms possible tonight with heavy rain as well as on Monday night. But we'll have plenty of dry hours today as well as tomorrow here in Chicago. And this active weather pattern is going to continue all week. Storms through next weekend, which could eventually cause some problems on area rivers. So something we'll be watching closely over the next 7 days or so.
And then for the rest of the week, once we get past the holiday week, are we looking at super hot again?
No, pretty warm all week long. Now, today we're going to be in the mid to upper 80s. Tomorrow, mid to upper 80s for highs. And we may back off into the lower 80s by Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. But nothing real cool, nothing fall-like for the rest of the week. And continued active. So warm, humid, and stormy for much of the next 7 days here in Chicago. But the good news for today is it's mainly dry until about 4 or 5 o'clock. Then a few isolated storms bubble up. But the main rain threat will hold off until tonight. So great news for outdoor plans today. A few more storms around tomorrow, but boy, what a light show we had last night. Those storms, wow, over the northern suburbs.
Unbelievable, yeah.
A lot of times clouds block the thunderstorms, so you don't really see all that lightning in the base of the cloud all the way to the top, but that wasn't the case last night, and that's why that light show was just so fantastic. We didn't have any clouds blocking those storms. It was great to watch, but if you were under those storms, wasn't it so much fun. The drenching rains and some unsettling lightning under those storms in McHenry County last night.
Get those grills ready for this weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
Mike, I appreciate the update. Thank you so much.
All right, Gene, you bet.
There's meteorologist Mike Hammernick as we move into an update of the very latest on this Sunday morning. And Dave Schwann has got the latest.
For personalized traffic on demand.
Did you give us any fests this time?
Oh, did you want to? I can give you
a fest. I love fests. I love a good fest.
I didn't know if you were available to chat about the fest.
Funny, I'm always paying attention to your
every word,
hanging
that I
on
say.
Your every word.
All right. Well, I do
even
have.
Though it
a,
seemed
I
like
have...
I was talking to our guest and wasn't paying one bit of attention to. May have seemed that way.
I
could practically recite your entire newscast back to you verbatim.
All right, go.
Later.
After you listen to the tape logger, yes. At Randolph Street between Ogden Avenue and Lake Street.
Randolph?
Randolph between Ogden and Lake.
Ogden and Lake.
Closed for the North Coast Music Festival.
Oh, that's a big one.
North Coast. And there's also another closure for this festival, Warren Boulevard, between Ashland and Ogden.
Oh.
Closed for the North Coast Music Festival.
That's a big music festival.
Until early tomorrow. Now, I have a question.
Yeah.
I have a question. I wondered about this throughout the day, Sunday, when we were gone last week.
You thought about me while you were gone last week?
I certainly did. Aww. I thought about you. I thought about Andy. Aww. I thought about everybody here.
We thought about you, too.
Yeah, all right. I can only guess what you were saying when I was gone. But my question is this. Last week at this time,
yes.
Was Des Plaines between Roosevelt and Harrison closed for the Maxwell Street Market?
We had to practically drag it out of your fill-in last week.
Don?
Yes, Don. We had to drag it out of him.
Oh,
but yes, we did.
That poor man.
Yeah, people depend on this vital information every Sunday.
Well, so it was indeed closed?
It was indeed closed.
You know what? It's closed again today.
I can't believe that.
Des Plaines between Roosevelt and Harrison.
For Maxwell Street Market?
Until 3 o'clock this afternoon, the Maxwell Street Market. Yes, it's closed Des Plaines.
Once again this week, I need new hubcaps.
Well, there you go. There you go.
Hey, by the way, that North Coast Music Festival, if you're thinking about going today, one of the performers, one of the bands performing is called Porn and Chicken.
You know, it
not
never,
making that up.
A couple weeks ago, we were talking about a band called Cigarettes After Sex.
Yep, that was at Lollapalooza.
Now it's Porn and Chicken.
Porn and Chicken is playing today. D Mash is performing today. Jamiroquai, and let me see if I can find another. Plaid Hawaii. There you go.
And they made fun of our names of the bands that we listened to.
That's right.
Back in the day.
Back in the day.
My goodness. What about the Electric Prunes? Are they going to be there today?
I don't think so. I think they're relaxing someplace right now.
A chance of storms, very warm and humid, high around 90.
Hope they're able to get that Porn and Chicken concert in between the rain
the
today.
Yes. Oh,
a lot of people come to town just to see
the
Porn and Chicken. We don't want the show to get greened out.
O'Hare 78, Midway and Chicago's Lakefront both have 79. Porn. I'm Dave Schwann in the WGN Radio Newsroom. And yes, this is the stuff that matters.
It is.
Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
That's really kind of sad for all of us, isn't it? At 10:42, it's time for the Week in Theater. What is going on stage in Chicago? And for that, we turn to our longtime pal, Betty Moore, theater critic with Le Bon Travel and Culture. Betty, good morning and welcome. Good, always nice to have you here with us on WGN.
Always good to be here.
In our new digs, what do you think?
They're absolutely stunning. I mean, they're stunning. The only thing is that the place is so big, it's hard to find you, but it's stunning view of the lake.
Was it hard to find the building, or once you got
in
the building?
No, once you're in the building.
Yeah, that's the hardest part for me, too, still.
Yeah, there's just a lot of, it's a big maze.
Yeah, it's a bit, so at the old dump where we used to be.
It was a great dump.
It was, you just walk right in. Anybody could walk into
exactly.
That place, so. Maybe we feel a little safer. How are you? Are you well?
I'm doing good. How about you?
You look fantastic.
Thank you.
I'm doing well. Thank you. And what's the summer season of theater in Chicago been
actually,
like?
Actually, we're right at the point where the big season is going to start. right after Labor Day,
Right. Everybody
opens up stuff. And this week, we're going to have great shows opening up. There's the one of the shows that's playing right now that I just saw a couple days ago, just opened, was called Ashena Madela. What that means, that's a Yiddish term that means beautiful girl. And what that's about is about a young woman who It's 1946 in New York, and she was left by her father because she had scarlet fever in Germany. Her mother dies during the Holocaust. It's a Holocaust play. It was actually done in 1984, and they're reviving it. And one of the reasons they're reviving it is that they found out that the millennials, about 22% of millennials, don't even know that the Holocaust happened.
Is that right?
It's amazing. Actually, you know something? That's one of my biggest things. Kids come out of college today with no knowledge of history.
Yeah.
The world started the day they were born, and it's really dangerous for people not to know. So Lifeline thought it would be a good idea, and it is. It's a wonderful play, and it's done very beautifully. It's a really good production. It just opened so people could still see it.
That's actually shocking to me. I mean, I know young people are not aware of, you know, pop culture things that from when you and I grew up and, you know, things like that. But major, and maybe one of the most major events in the history of mankind, the Holocaust. How do you not know about that? That's amazing to me.
You know,
and very sad and depressing.
It's very sad. And what's even worse is that the people that are going to see a Shayna Medela are not the college students that really need to. It was the older generation that was there. A couple of years ago, I was going into Barnes & Noble trying to find a CD of Irving Berlin and Cole Porter. And there was a young girl, and she's about 25 years old, and she says to me, "Who?" And I actually had to start singing White Christmas when she finally realized she knew it. And then she didn't know Cole Porter, but I said he wrote the sexiest lyrics in the world. And she says, "How do you spell his name?"
Oh,
so that did.
Now she was interested.
Yeah.
I would pay money to hear you in a Barnes & Noble singing White Christmas, by the way.
Yeah.
Who's that lady over
there? Well, it would be better than Porn and
Just
Chicken, I think.
Just like the ones we used to know. Shayna Medela at the Timeline Theater, and that opens right after
Labor.
It's already just opened.
Now, the ones that are opening right after Labor Day, they've got Legally Blind at Paramount is opening up this Wednesday.
Yeah, Legally Blonde, right.
Little Shop of Horrors is opening up Thursday at the Drury Lane, and Little Shop of Horrors is one of my favorite shows. It is such a fun show. I'm surprised they're doing it before Halloween, but it's a terrific production. And another show that's going to be opening is Sweet Charity at the Marriott Lincolnshire. And that's very timely
with the death of Neil Simon.
Yeah, he just died last Sunday.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, one of the funny things, I mean, a lot of people are talking about all his plays. And one of the funny things, I did interview him many years ago, and this is kind of a fun anecdote. You know, he was called Doc by a lot of people. And the reason he was called Doc was as he was a little kid, he used to play with pills all the time. So his family started calling him that. He hated it. He absolutely hated being called that. So after I do this interview, a couple months later, I see him on the James Lipton Actor Studio show.
Yeah.
And James Lipton is trying to show everyone how well connected he is he calls
familiar.
Neil Simon Doc.
Uh-oh.
And I look at Neil Simon didn't do anything. I knew he hated it, but he was just nice. He didn't say anything.
Polite, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a little cute. There's a couple of other things. I mean, he did the show of shows with Sid Caesar.
Right.
And he worked with Woody Allen and did Mel Brooks. Did you ever see the play he wrote, I think it was in 1993, called Laughter on the 23rd Floor?
Oh, sure, yeah.
The part where Mel Brooks comes in and he's got a headache, but he knows it's a tumor. He's got a stomach ache and he knows he's dying. He's
right.
Hypochondriac.
Yeah.
But anyway, the other thing that's opening up is Crime and Punishment is opening up Thursday. It's a Shattered Globe production at the Witt Theater. And here's something that people really want to take advantage of. This Friday, the Lyric Opera does this every year after Labor Day. They're going to
Is this La Boheme?
Yeah.
Okay, hang on to La Boheme for a second, because I want to spend a little time talking about that after the break.
Okay.
But also, you were talking about Legally Blonde at the Paramount.
Right.
That is going to be open. We are going to be doing one of our Dean's Night Out at the Paramount Theater, where 10 lucky winners will each get a pair of tickets to see the show with me at the Paramount. This is going to be Sunday, September 16th, their 5:30 performance. Before the show, we have a little private reception, a little meet and greet. We have some cocktails and some snacks and things like that. Then we go in and enjoy the show. So if you would like to be one of those, one of the 10 lucky winners to get a free pair of tickets for Legally Blonde the Musical at the Paramount Theater in Aurora, all you have to do is go to WGNRadio.com right now for your chance to enter the random drawing. WGNRadio.com/contest for my Dean's Night Out at the Paramount in Aurora to see Legally Blonde, the musical. More with the Betty Moore is coming up next. WGN.
Chi sono? Sono un poeta. Che cosa faccio? Scrivo e come vivo.
1053 WGN. There's only one show that talks about porn and chicken playing at a festival today, and also playing Puccini's La Bohème at the same time. This is your one show that does that. Betty Moore, theater critic with Le Bon Travel and Culture, is with us today. And talking about things that are about to open. Labor Day weekend pretty much is the point at which the fall season begins for theater in Chicago. And Betty and I have been talking for years. Betty's been trying to get me to go to opera for years. And I've gone a couple of times. Best couple of hours of sleep that I've had both times that I've gone. So maybe I just picked the wrong shows. And but Betty, I must say, has been relentless in trying to get me to go to opera. And she says that if you are going to pick one, if you're not an opera person, if you're going to pick one to see, it would be this one, La Bohème.
That's right.
So make your case here for us.
Well, first of all, it's a very romantic piece. If anybody has ever seen Moonstruck, the movie, yeah. They play La Bohème throughout the whole thing. It's very romantic. It's about these students that are struggling.
Isn't it the opera that Nicolas Cage takes Cher?
Yes.
To go see at the...
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, at the Metropolitan. Yes. Yeah.
And she's crying because the heroine dies.
Yes.
Now, here's the thing. She dies.
And his father is right down the aisle with his cheesy girlfriend.
It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Me too.
But La Bohème is the one. It's just the music is so lush. It's so melodic. It's so gorgeous. Yes, she dies at the end. Okay, a lot of operas do. But it's just the most gorgeous music. And it's not a long opera. It's like 2 hours. And, you know, this is one where... You could even just close your eyes. The music, like, goes down your spine. It's so delicious.
Yeah.
And what they're doing is, the Lyric Opera is so smart. They figure they're doing something this Friday. It's for free. It's at the Millennium Park at the J. Pritzker,
Pavilion.
Pavilion.
Right.
And they're going to be playing the second act of La Bohème. And then for their second act, they're playing some of Verdi, Il Trovatore and La Traviata, which is also going to be playing for the Lyric season.
So like now, a little greatest hits of opera at this free event at Pritzker Pavilion.
See, the whole thing is, like, let's say, for example, you go to see Verdi, you go to see La Traviata, Il Trovatore. That's another thing you're going to like. Some of the operas are a little bit more difficult. I mean, I'm not saying that every single opera is for everyone.
Right.
But you really, if you're starting out, you have to choose the right opera.
Okay, maybe that's my problem.
That's it.
I don't even remember which operas I've seen. I saw one in New York. I thought, well, if I'm going to enjoy an opera, it'll be in New York. I hated it. I fell asleep. And I saw one here, and I don't remember where. Again.
Well, you know what? If it's something like Wagner, where it's really long, it's like 4 hours.
Very long and very challenging. And
exactly. Not only that, but the stories are very challenging sometimes. Wagner is a particular taste, okay?
Yeah.
But there's certain composers. If you see Puccini, he did Madame Butterfly. Also gorgeous.
Okay.
He did Tosca, also gorgeous. So if you go to see La Bohème and you go to see Verdi, okay, start out with those two, Dean.
Well, I think La Bohème is that should be my starting point.
Okay.
All I'll be thinking is, well, Cher and Nicolas Cage saw this in Moonstruck, so
yeah.
I will also enjoy it.
Well, I'll tell you this.
The musical Rent is based on La Bohème.
The musical,
right?
Rent, instead of tuberculosis, they're dying from AIDS, they're dying. Not only that, the music from Rent doesn't even compare. It's not even in the same hemisphere.
No, I'm just saying that it's based on...
It is based, they took the story. Let me just say this to you, Dean.
I wish everyone could see the look of pure joy on your face right now hearing this.
Here's my thing, is if you don't like La Bohème, If you don't enjoy it...
Will you give me my money back?
Yeah, I'll give you your money back. And not only that, I won't bother
money,
you.
Money back guarantee you get it?
I won't bother you anymore about opera.
About opera?
Yeah, but I... And this is not even the best. What you're playing is gorgeous. But the whole thing...
Do they have subtitles?
Yes. They have subtitles, so you're going to know everything that's going on.
So I'll be able
on.
To understand what's going on.
They're going to understand. But, you know, do yourself a
so
favor.
So I don't have to learn Italian before I go
no.
to see this.
No. And Italian is gorgeous. But you know what? Pack a picnic dinner and go to... and listen to... It's for free.
Well, the preview, let's just explain that. The it's called the Stars of the Lyric Opera. It's free, and that is Friday, September 11th.
No, it's you know what? I got that wrong. It's September the 7th. It's this Friday.
Oh, it's the 7th.
Okay. It's my fault. It's this Friday.
Well, let me write that down then.
Yeah.
Okay, September 7th. That's at 7:30 at the Pritzker Pavilion. But La Boheme will kick off the Lyric Opera season on October the 6th. So you can contact Lyric Opera's website to get more information on that. And I will make this pledge to you. I will go see La Boheme.
I'm dying to hear what you say afterwards. I mean, you know something? If you have a
I'm going to get a good night's rest before I go.
if you have a romance.
Drink a lot of coffee before I go.
You know what, Dean? You're a sensitive person. You've got a touch of romanticism.
Will I be crying?
No, you know what? You might be. I don't know. I don't know how sensitive you are, but the music is just so gorgeous.
Okay.
Just you know,
La Boheme starts at Lyric Opera October the 6th. You can check out their free best of the Lyric Stars of the Lyric Opera. It'll be September 7th at the Pritzker Pavilion. People want to see your reviews, Betty. What's the best way to do that?
They can just Google us, Le Bon Travel. -culture.com or just put Le Bon Travel and Culture. You could just Google us or you could go directly to our website and we have a preview of the opera season.
Okay.
So if they want to know where to go, they want to know which operas are playing what day, we have a preview of it.
All right. And we'll have the news coming up next, WGN. All right. Coming up for you, we've got my one-on-one interview with Chicago legend Ramsey Lewis. That brought the house down last night at the Chicago Jazz Festival, also at the Pritzker Pavilion. That's coming up for you. The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 7:20 on 7:20 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users say play WGN radio on TuneIn. Let's get the latest news. Here is Dave Schwann.
On the home of the Blackhawks, Northwestern Wildcats, and White Sox baseball, Andy Mazur, WGN Sports.
Andy's so humble, he's not even mentioning that he's got his exclusive interview with Khalil Mack coming up in the pregame show at 12:30.
I do.
You're very, very humble.
Can you ask him a question for me?
Sure.
What's he going to do with all his money?
He's going to spend it on you.
Can you ask him a question for me?
Sure.
Why is Dean lying about the...
I was thinking, maybe, do you know something that I don't know?
Just trying to get you some audience.
Yeah, okay, Andy. Yeah, good. I appreciate that.
We made arrangements to have him come to the ballpark there for you.
I think we've established a long time ago that accuracy has nothing to do with stuff that we talk about here on the show.
Accuracy is sincere form of flattery? Is that
much more exciting when we lie.
Okay, yeah, so Khalil Mack, I'll make room for him here. I mean, there's an extra chair next to me.
Khalil, if you're listening, and I know you're a big WGN fan, Andy is the pregame starts at 12:30 today, right?
12:35. Right. We'll be here.
It's accuracy here. Right. 12:35.
Come over to Guaranteed Rate Field. Andy will be doing his segment there, the pregame,
right?
And probably can spare like a minute or two with you.
Yeah, exactly. And all we want to do is find out how excited you are to be in Chicago, and Dave Schwann wants to know what you're going to do with the money.
Right.
That's right.
Right. And the obligatory question that we ask all new people coming to Chicago, what's your favorite pizza?
Yeah. And do you put ketchup on your hot dog?
Put ketchup on the hot dog. We'll cancel the contract.
I'm embarrassed for us already.
Khalil,
you know it's going to happen.
And Khalil, with that, we'll let you go.
You know that's going to happen. Khalil, do you like ketchup on your hot dog? Dude.
What if he says yes?
Uh-oh.
He sacks quarterbacks for a
living. Yeah, he'll be sidelined.
What if he likes ketchup?
He'll be sidelined for the season.
Boy, that is a good philosophical question right there.
Uh-huh.
Do we dump him like yesterday's news if he likes ketchup?
Okay, but what if he likes ketchup and destroys the Green Bay Packers on Sunday night?
Yeah, oh boy. It's a tough question.
That is a tough question.
Yeah. I don't know. It's tradition versus beating the Packers.
Also a tradition.
The very fact that I have to think about it is also very sad.
Yeah. So those are the kind of things we'll be pondering here on the pregame show.
Those
along
are the
with
deep questions
well.
Today. Yep. Deep exactly. questions today. We're deep thinkers here on Sunday morning.
Deep thoughts.
And we also have a festival for you, since you want me to continue bringing up festivals.
I love the festivals.
African Arts Festival.
Oh.
51st and Cottage Grove is in the area there today for the African Arts Festival.
They have art?
They have art, yes. And I even
think...
They have
food and fun?
I even think they're staging a version of La Boheme just for you, Dean.
Really? Okay.
I want you to go see that opera.
Have you ever seen La Boheme?
I've seen it twice.
Wow.
Yes.
And how many times did you stay awake?
I stayed awake both times because I totally agree with what your guest said. It is gorgeous music.
Okay.
The story is compelling between the lovers, Mimi and Rodolfo. So you got to go see it.
Okay. I'm going to go.
Okay.
I'm going to go.
Back to the African Arts Festival, 51st and Cottage.
And that's how I snore about it in real life, by the way.
I've heard that once or twice.
Ask anybody.
The African Arts Festival, 51st and Cottage Grove. It runs until 10 o'clock tonight,
okay.
Today and tomorrow. And the CTA buses numbers 2, 4, and 15.
My favorite.
Stop at the festival.
Okay. Rocking with me? Are we rocking Chicago today or what? With the group Cheap Trick, Chwani, they are performing in the Chicago area today.
Where?
They are at the Naperville Last Fling.
Oh, the Last Fling Festival.
Yeah. That was
my next event that I was going to mention.
The Naperville Last Fling.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well...
Jackson Avenue between Ewing and Main Street closed for this.
Okay.
Parking restrictions begin at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Until
25 bucks.
Tuesday.
25 bucks to see Cheap Trick. That's cheap for Cheap Trick.
My, you're funny.
Gates open at 4:30, and the bands will start today at 5:30. So we have those guys performing today. We also have out at Ravinia today. We've got concerts going on all weekend at Ravinia. What did I do with my Ravinia list? Wait a minute. Hold on. Hang on. I don't know where it is. But this is... I've lost it. I've completely lost my list.
You've lost...
But I do know that this is happening at Ravinia tomorrow. I found my list. Ian Anderson of Jethro Tull fame is at Ravinia tomorrow night at 7:30. But if you want to go to Ravinia tonight...
It's O-A-R and Matt Matheson.
Look at you. Apparently you're the one that took my notes I couldn't find any place.
Would that be the Just Like Paradise tour?
It is Just Like Paradise tour. Apparently Andy is the one who stole my notes.
And he took it down to the ballpark, so you couldn't find it.
I'm impressed. Everybody showed up for rehearsal this morning and remembered all the things that we said we were going to put in the show today, which is nice, including this.
They call him Flipper, Flipper, faster than lightning. Oh. No one you see is smarter than he.
Chwani, it's time for animal stories.
Go ahead, Uncle Dean.
We got a dolphin story this morning, a little Chwani.
Does he think he's going to be all right, Uncle Dean?
There's a story of a dolphin that his behavior has gone a little wild in the area of northwestern France. Oh, you know those French dolphins. They're out of control.
May we?
Apparently, a dolphin there is being overly, shall we say, amorous with some of the swimmers and surfers and people who are enjoying the water. They're enjoying the water, and then this dolphin is like, hey, monsieur swimmer, maybe you would like to go for a baguette.
Entrez-vous.
Perhaps I can interest you in a glass of wine. Apparently, the dolphin...
Well, they said dolphins could talk.
Well, yeah, you like that better? It's not romantic. Apparently, this dolphin is, the news report says, terrorizing the swimmers. A sexually aroused dolphin is terrorizing swimmers in this area. So they have banned swimming on the Brittany Beach there. Local swimmers are prevented from getting any closer than 40 meters to this overly amorous dolphin.
The dolphin, and they're, is this terrorizing the swimmers?
Well, you know, he's... Hello. Hello, Monsieur Human.
Hello.
Hello, Monsieur Human. Have you seen my blowhole?
Yeah. Oh.
So
I'm turning off my microphone right now.
I'm turning off my career right now. So anyway, that's just a little side. That's a lot of animal stories.
Are they going to be all right, Uncle Dean?
That's apparently the dolphin's going to be fantastic. Apparently, he was last seen smoking a cigarette on the Champs-Élysées. I don't know. All right, a quick break. We're going to get ready for our interview one-on-one with Chicago legend Ramsey Lewis. That's next on WGN. It's 11:22. Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. It's always been one of my favorite songs. The great Ramsey Lewis, the original trio, with his hit song, The In Crowd, song for which he won 3 Grammy Awards. Ramsey Lewis headlined the Chicago Jazz Festival last night and just brought the place down, as you would imagine. Even at 83 years old, he is just so great. With songs like this, some of his other songs that crossed over onto the pop charts through the years, but just some beautiful, beautiful jazz versions of songs that he's recreated, and of course many that he's written himself. He is a true Chicago legend with roots here in Chicago, going to school here in Chicago, learning music here in Chicago. I had the great pleasure of working closely with Ramsey when I was at WNUA, the old jazz station there. In fact, one of the most pleasurable things about me being at WNUA was getting to become friends with Ramsey Lewis, and I'm very happy that that friendship continues to this day. Ramsey was nice enough to invite me to his home in the Streeterville area here in Chicago. He and his wife Jan invited me and my crew to his apartment, where we sat down and had a wonderful, wonderful conversation about his career and about music. And about that song that we just heard, right in his living room, 3 little Grammy statues are behind glass, proudly on display. 2 of them are for the song, The In Crowd.
But, you know, those crossover hits were not planned. excuse me. We, in terms of The In Crowd, we had gotten all the tunes together. And by then, the previous 2 or 3 albums, we had made it a habit of, let's put a fun song on. And so we didn't have a fun song for the album that ended up being The In Crowd. So we were in Washington, D.C., and we were in a coffee shop. I'll never forget her name because of the record becoming a hit. Nettie Gray said, what are you guys doing? L.D. Young, Red Holtman. We want a song that's kind of fun and it's got a beat. She says, have you ever heard Dobie Gray's The In Crowd? And I hadn't. She says, well, it's on the jukebox over here. Now get that coffee shop with a jukebox. Okay. And so she went over and played. I said, that's perfect. That's perfect. And so we put it on an album, put the album out, had no idea that people were going to start playing and listening to. There was, I think there was another song we thought was going to be the hit, and it was the In Crowd. Of course, we followed that with the McCoys.
Hang on, Sloopy.
Hang on, Sloopy.
That's right.
We were in a car. We drove a lot of places in those days, and on radio, the McCoys came on, and his friend Bob Holmes and Edwina Holmes, they were in the car, and his wife, she said, "Ramsey, you ought to record that." The McCoys? I don't think so. She said, "I bet you could do a good job on it."
Yeah.
I said, "Give it a try." Well, we just kind of played around with it and kind of got a what we thought was a nice beat to it. And when we played it in person, sure enough, people got off on it. So we looked at each other once again.
Yeah.
And then, this is the last story I'm going to tell. But
I'm here for stories.
Oh, are you?
We'll pull back on the stories.
Well, the one more story about hit records, okay? We were in a studio recording an album, and we had to go to Washington, D.C. to play a concert in the center of the recording session, and we were going to go back and finish recording. While in Washington, I get a call from Maurice White. Well, Maurice White had by then left and formed Earth, Wind, and Fire, and they were doing pretty good. They had just sold out Madison Square Garden.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, they were,
fair amount of success.
So he says, "Ramsey," I said, "What?" He said, "I got a hit record for you." I said, "Really? It's going to be bigger than the In Crowd." I said, "Reese, now, you know, you were with me when we did that." So, I mean, we performed it. Red Holt actually recorded it. He said, "No, it's going to be bigger." So he says, "When are you guys in the studio again?" So we're in the studio now. I just had to come to Washington to do this. "Are you going back?" I said, "Yes." So he said, "Tell you what, me, Philip Bailey, and Johnny Graham, and one other, we'll meet you in Chicago on our way back to L.A., and I'll give you this song, show you what it's all about. We'll perform on it, and it's going to be the biggest thing you've ever had." Well, we spent 3 days on that song. He just wanted to Maurice's always been that way. The rhythm, the this, the that, the drums, the everything has to be that way. And we finished it, and I said, "What are you going to call it?" And he said, "Hot Dog It." And he said, "Okay." So they're beginning to pack up. And Maurice said, "Ah, I've got this little melody. So it's only 16 bars long. So we're going to have to put solos. You'll solo a couple times at the end. Donald Myrick will take a saxophone solo to lengthen it out, and it'll become an album tune. But the single is Hot Dog It." So we did that. We put the album out. Because of the name of the album, Sun Goddess, because that was a nice name, the record company called it Sun Goddess, and it was selling fairly well. So we wanted to find out why is the album selling so well? Because radio played Hot Dog It for about 2 weeks and said, "We're not playing this anymore." And we found out that they were doing it because of Sun Goddess. And so it's interesting because unlike many of the plans for musical groups in the late 60s and 70s, It wasn't contrived. It wasn't, "Let's go into the laboratory and write a hit record."
Right.
"Let's plan a hit record." It was, "How does it feel? Let's try it out in person." And they all did very well.
Yeah. How many times do you think you've played the In Crowd?
I stopped counting after 100,000. I mean, I remember about maybe 10 years ago, we finished a concert, and I told the guys, "Come on, let's go. I think we did play Sun Goddess or Hang On Sloopy or something as encores."
Yeah.
And I said, "Come on, let's go."
Think you got a little In Crowd in you, just a little bit of it for us?
right now?
Just a little taste of it.
Get me started.
That's 100,001 now. How about that? Look at that. Ramsey, he's got a Steinway, Schwani, that he bought in 1962.
I saw that in your interview. 1962.
He's sitting at the piano while we're talking, and during the conversation, you know, he's punctuating the conversation with little notes, you know, trying to underline, you know, things that he was talking about.
So, sure.
To be sitting next to Ramsey Lewis and just have him drop a little in crowd on us is pretty cool.
That is. That is. I love the story about Hang On Sloopy, too.
Right, right. Ramsey, it has been rumored all over the place, is retiring, quitting music. He explains that whole thing. That's not 100% true. But we'll get to that part two of our interview in just a moment after we get a little update of the latest. And in our WGN newsroom is Dave Schwann.
White Sox baseball, Andy Mazur, WGN Sports.
By the way, the question that you put out last hour.
Yes.
If it, we brought up the Khalil Mack question. Would you rather have him put ketchup on a hot dog or beat the Green Bay Packers? Okay. Most people are siding with the ketchup.
Really?
The diehard ketchup, diehard no ketchup on a hot dog.
So,
in other words, if he puts ketchup on his hot dog, he's dead to us.
They're done with him already.
To them.
They'll send him back to Oakland.
Yeah, I'm not a ketchup purist, but some people would rather have the Bears lose than see somebody eat a hot dog with ketchup on it.
So more diehard mustard fans than there are diehard Bears fans. Yeah.
What about relish and onions on it?
Interesting.
Yeah. I relish that question.
Oh. Uh-huh.
I'm done. More ways than one. I'm done.
I think I'm done too. Pregame coming up at 12:35 today. First pitch at 1:10. And I swear, if I have a hot dog today, we'll put mustard only.
If you want to keep people happy,
I know that's the thing.
Don't start trouble in this world.
I want to make people happy.
Maybe that's what politicians need to do more.
Make people happy?
No, just have mustard on the hot dogs.
Just mustard on the hot dogs? Then they will get things done.
Never mind all this rhetoric. Never mind all the talk. Just stop putting ketchup on your hot dogs.
Just look to the hot dog.
That's right. Look to the weenies. Back to you, Schwani.
Thank you, Schwani.
I think you were done. Were you done, Andy?
I'm done, yes.
Okay.
The Fringe Festival is closing Lawrence Avenue between Linden and Long Avenue today and tomorrow in Jefferson
Linden
Park. Linden and Long and Lawrence Avenue between Linden and Long Avenue today and Labor Day tomorrow in Jefferson Park.
What's it called? Fringe?
Fringe. F-R-I-N-G-E. And a lot of people refer to us as being on the fringe.
Well, that's true.
CTA Blue Line will stop near the festival. They're at the Jefferson Park stop. So, you're looking that up now as we speak?
Well, I'm curious who's playing Fringe Fest or what happens at a Fringe
Fest. Yeah, I don't know what goes on there.
I don't either.
Maybe you can ride a Surrey with the Fringe on top.
maybe.
That's the shuttle between the Jefferson Park Blue Line stop and the festival.
They have a psychic hypnotist there today called Mr. Vibe. His name is Mr. Vibe. They have a big balloon show. Oh, with Smarty Pants. He's been on the TV morning show, Smarty Pants. They have a group. I think it's a group. It might be a theatrical performance called I Killed the Cow.
Wasn't that Eric Clapton's follow-up to I Shot the Sheriff?
You know, I think this is all, I think this is a theater festival.
Yeah, entertainers that are kind of...
But not music. It's not music.
No, music.
It's all theater, theatrical groups.
Okay.
Little theater companies.
All right, the Fringe Festival. Jefferson Park.
8:30 tonight, Settle This Thing. At 8:30 tonight, there's a production that's called I'm Trying to Think of Some Way to Make This Title Shorter, because this one is way too long. I think we can all agree. So this is just nothing but different theater companies performing at this Fringe Festival.
The Fringe Festival.
Yeah.
Lawrence Avenue between Linden and Long, Jefferson
Park. Learned something new today.
We do. This is The Stuff That Matters on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
This is Ramsey Lewis's Sun Goddess. You said that Ramsey played this one last night.
He ended the show with it. Yep.
Wish I could have been there.
What else he did? Believe it or not, a very soulful rendition of all things, A Hard Day's Night.
Really?
Yes. And he found some bluesiness and soulfulness in the music that you might not think would be there.
Yeah.
But he played it.
Part of the genius of Ramsey Lewis. Yeah. Part of the genius. And still very, although he's 83 years old, is still very youthful and funny and mischievous. He is truly one of the nicest people that I've ever met. I'm proud to call him a friend. I am so appreciative that he was so generous with his time this past week to let us come to his house with all of our cameras and equipment and everything and talk to him. But there have been so many rumors that Ramsey was getting ready to call it quits, to retire. And that made me sad, but I wanted to hear it right from him. So that's one of the things that we talked about with the jazz legend, Ramsey Lewis. We've been hearing stories that your Jazz Fest appearance this weekend is going to be your final one in Chicago.
Well, that's true.
But you're not retiring for good, though.
No. I'll probably play Ravinia from time to time, but this is my last performance in Chicago. What can I say? I mean, I've played Chicago nightclubs, bars, lounges, orchestra hall. I've played Chicago. And Ravinia sort of became my home for, I don't know, more years than I want to count.
Artistic director there.
Artistic director
for many years.
For jazz.
Or, yeah.
So what's going to be now after we perform Saturday? Is limited dates over around the world, including Chicago.
Because it made me sad when I thought that you're going to be retiring. And you actually thought about it for a minute.
I did, to the point where I think it was Chicago Magazine a few months ago. They were interviewing me for some reason. And I said, yeah, I'm through with it. I'm out of here. I'm retiring, and the word kind of got out there. Well, he's that's it. But
you tried it for about a week. You told me, right?
Yeah.
You said you're going to have like a practice retirement to see how you liked it.
I had 2 weeks off, maybe 2.5-3 weeks, and I said, let me see how it's going to feel if I'm retired. And so that's my reading chair. I sit in that chair by the window. And I put newspapers and books and magazines over there. And I have a soft drink or a juice or something. And I did that for a couple of days. I said, this is pretty good. Third day, it's like, well, that's okay. The fourth day, it's like, I don't know. So by the fourth, fifth day, I figured it out that I've been performing for so long. You know, I started performing in our church when I was 9 years old. And then performing with the Cliffs in front of people when I was 15 years old. So performance is sort of... And then Dorothy Mendelson, my second piano teacher, right, 12 years old, she had me performing in front of people, classical music. So gospel music, jazz, and classical music in front of people. And it's the communication, you know, and it kind of gets in your blood. And so... You can't do it alone. I thought of Vladimir Horowitz, Artur Rubinstein, and they performed until they were 83, 93 years old. Well, you say, well, you don't remember any jazz guys performing that long, because back in that day, things were rough, things were hard. Jazz guys just couldn't make a go of...
Right.
Living past 50, 60 years old at the most, because there were no concerts. I forgot the first time somebody broke out and played Carnegie Hall, but it was all nightclubs. And nightclubs, the club owner, nah, you guys only get one mic. Nah, you guys don't need but two lights. Nah, you guys don't get a dressing room. I mean, playing clubs way back in the day, but the love of the music, of course it got better year after year, because the clubs got better and the clubs owners finally learned that they play, oh, they play better when they have their own dressing room. Right. Oh, this is, oh. But still things weren't as they wanted it.
What do you hope your legacy of music will be? As you slow down a little bit, what do you hope that people will remember most about the gift that Ramsey Lewis has given us all these years?
You know,
I thought these questions were going to be easy, didn't you?
Knowing you, I know you very well. I just hope people just remember me as a pretty nice guy that happened to play piano. And some of his music was pretty good. And he loved his family and his wife and his friends. Goodbye, Ramsey.
You sure have given us so much joy with all of that. Is it possible that you have a favorite song to play? One that gives you a tremendous joy when you play it?
No, I don't have any one song.
Not one song?
I don't have one song. I don't have one song. I have many. Do you have about 3 hours? Thank you.
The legendary Ramsey Lewis. That's one of the songs that he did last night at Chicago Jazz Fest. And you can see why people love Ramsey Lewis. That was one of the most beautiful versions of that song I've ever heard.
Isn't that great? And he did it with the Urban Knights, a group that he's played with for a lot, a long time.
Because parts of that song are beautiful and elegant, and then they start jamming. And wow.
Yeah.
It's cool.
I hope the stylistics have had a chance to hear his version of it.
Oh, I'm sure they
have. I'm sure they love it.
I'm sure they have. It's been a while since I played some jazz, Schwani.
You're clicking right in there, Daddy.
Yeah, Daddy.
Ooh, like Crazyville.
It was great, great to visit with Ramsey. And again, thank him very much. I thank him so much for letting us come into his house and drag cameras and lights and the whole deal. He and his wife Jan could not be any more hospitable and any more wonderful. So I really appreciate that. One of the best things that I got out of the whole visit, I mean, we had a wonderful, really wonderful interview. While they're setting up the lights and everything, Ramsey and I are reminiscing about our old WNUA days together. And he told me that the managers there used to yell at him all the time because he would try to sneak in actual jazz songs amongst the Kenny G music and Yanni and, you know, all that stuff. Ramsey
that just blows my mind.
Ramsey, you know, he tried to sneak in an Oscar Peterson song or, Ella Fitzgerald or, you know, something like that. And he said that they were constantly yelling at him. It made me feel better because my entire 3 years there, that felt like 12, by the way, that's all they ever did was yell at me for trying to sneak in songs that I thought the audience would enjoy.
Do you recall if they yelled at you when we got into an extended conversation about Miles Davis?
They probably did. I don't remember specifically, yeah. But if it wasn't about Kenny G, I'm pretty sure I got in trouble for it. Dean, we'd like to talk to you after the show today. Uh-oh, here it comes.
Close the door.
It got to a point where I just went right to the manager's office right after every show because I knew that there was...
you just went.
I didn't wait to be called. You. Yeah, I didn't wait to be called. I just went in. It's like, okay, now what? I played a Miles Davis song on a jazz station. Crazy me. But I felt it made me feel better. I'm sorry that Ramsey also got yelled at, but it made me feel better that if Ramsey also got yelled at, I didn't feel so bad about me getting yelled at.
It amazes me that they would yell at him when they brought him in the first place for his notoriety.
Because he's Ramsey Lewis.
Because he's Ramsey Lewis as a musician.
He's a jazz legend.
They want that draw for an audience.
Right.
And then they yell at him.
Ramsey, we know that you've got 3 Grammy Awards and that you are a legendary jazz figure known
around the world.
All over the planet. But, you know that Oscar Peterson song you played today? I think our audience may have found that offensive. You know,
offensive.
Our audience that is coming to the station to listen to jazz, I think they may have found that. We'd like you to stop doing that, please. What? Ramsey, this is Kenny G. We'd like you to play more of this and less Miles Davis. Getting goosebumps again.
Who?
I spent years in electroshock therapy trying to forget that, Kenny G.
Oh, so that's what happened.
All right. That's what happened to my hair. I don't know about anything else. Right back with more coming up next on WGN.
First pitch 110 with Ed Farmer and Darren Jackson here on 720 WGN.
Is he busy getting ready for this pregame right now?
getting ready for the pregame show. And
a big one-on-one interview with Khalil Mack.
Khalil Mack is coming up, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Asking him what he's going to do with all the money.
If you're just tuning in now, we're pretending like we've got a one-on-one interview with the hottest story in Chicago today.
Yes, we're pretending.
Yeah, that's not true, but that's what we're just having. We're making ourselves feel better.
And speaking of Khalil Mack, the Bears have acquired Khalil from the Raiders and sent two first-round draft picks to Oakland. The Raiders sent Mack in exchange for the first-round selections in 2019 and 2020, a sixth-rounder next year, and a third-rounder in 2020.
I imagine that he's probably had every McDonald's comparison you could possibly think of. Like,
Mac.
Oh, he's the Big Mac.
Big Mac, yeah.
I'm having a Mac attack.
Not a Shaq attack, yeah. A Mac attack.
Yeah.
Mac's extended contract totals $141 million, $90 million of which is guaranteed. Hence my question, what are you going to do with all the money?
Well, listen, if we get the exclusive, Khalil Mack, I know you just came into a very sizable amount of money. If you will agree to do the one-on-one interview with Andy Mazur, I will add $39 to that total.
Oh, the other question, of course, was, do you put ketchup on the hot dog?
Yeah, I just posted that question on my Twitter. I just put it on my social media that, everybody's very excited that he's in Chicago. Would your opinion change if you learned that he likes ketchup on a hot dog?
And there was no doubt about it.
So far, this could change. This could change. So far, the ketchup haters are definitely out there today. They would drop him in an instant if he dared to put ketchup.
Even
on.
If they have annihilated the Packers on the field.
Let's say we're about to go to the Super Bowl. Let's say we're about to go to the Super Bowl, and his participation in the game is crucial. You learn that he puts ketchup on a hot dog. Do you now hate him and root against him because he has violated the age-old Chicago? I don't want to call it a rule because I think it's stupid myself, but how some people can't stand anybody who puts ketchup on a hot dog. What would you do is the question.
And they really would have nothing to do with
it. So far, the mustard lovers are out in force.
Mustard and relish lovers.
The mustard. Here's one person that says... would your opinion change? Yes, maybe even a little more. One person, here's a ketchup lover. That makes me love him more.
Oh, okay.
Makes me love him more. Somebody named Marilyn says, ooh, my kind of guy. Ketchup does the trick for you like that? Wow. I've been going about this all wrong all my life.
This is a question that should be posed to him during the first news conference.
Yeah, well, I posted the question on this. I copied him on this, so we'll see if he responds. And again, my offer of $39 for an exclusive interview stands.
Later today, 12:35, coming up also, the Cubs playing Philadelphia.
Oh, here's somebody that says, if I learn if he puts ketchup on his hot dog, we can't be friends.
Oh, really? Wow. They could be the biggest Bears fans in the world.
If somebody else says, just tackle people and we're square. This is going to go crazy. I'm sure he'll be doing that.
We'll have to keep a running tally as to what happens and report back next week. Cubs playing Philadelphia this afternoon also. Cubs beat the Phillies yesterday 7-1. And the White Sox get underway 1-10 with Ed Farmer and Darren Jackson. Andy, we'll have your pregame in just about 25 minutes here on 720 WGN.
847 area code. If he beats the Packers, he can put whatever the hell he wants on his hot dog.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. Any more?
That's it.
That's it for now?
I'll interrupt if I find it.
Okay. Please do. Yep. Please do.
As we kick off this Labor Day weekend, usually some people start to think about, I have to go back to work tomorrow. Hopefully you do not have to go back to work tomorrow. Shwani, what are you grilling up at your house this weekend? Open house for listeners at Shwani's house. Oh.
A cider and sliders.
You do that? Being done already.
You know what? I will be here tomorrow morning. And then I'm headed out to Dad's because they're having a Labor Day cookout at his retirement place. Burgers and potato salad.
Oh, I see. You can't beat that. That's that's good eating right there.
Yeah.
I've got some burgers that I made the other day. I was grilling on TV the other day.
That's what you were saying.
Yeah, and I made barbecued meatloaf on the grill. It was really good.
That sounds good.
It was really, really good.
That sounds great.
You know, kind of typical meatloaf mixture. This was ground chuck and ground pork mixed together. One egg. It's 2 pounds of ground meat. One egg. Panko breadcrumbs. I put chopped onions in it, chopped green peppers, some Worcestershire, some garlic, and you form it into, you know, a loaf.
Yeah,
not a big one because you're going to cook it on the grill. You know, and
because it won't cook through.
It has to cook through. So you make. I made sort of two smaller, like mini meatloafs, and it was about 35 minutes maybe in direct heat on the grill. And then you baste it at the end with like a barbecue sauce, ketchup. Everyone's got their own little base that they put on it, you know, different kinds of things. But I had some meat left over and I made them into patties, and I'm gonna throw them on the grill today.
There you go.
Some like good old American burgers.
That sounds great.
Potato salad sounds good.
Yeah, speaking of grilling, very quickly I want to mention to you a meal that we had, a dinner we had in Santa Fe when we were gone. I had some of the best fajitas I have ever had in my life.
What made them so great?
Because it was a combination of chicken and grilled scallops.
Oh, wow.
With veggies and a mole sauce that was made at the restaurant. And it was out of this world.
I'll bet it was not a chocolatey mole sauce. I'll bet it was a lighter kind of mole.
A lighter sauce, yes.
To go with the chicken and scallops.
Yes. Yeah, grilled scallops, Dean.
There's, you know, if you love different moles like that, different variety of moles other than the chocolate-based mole that most Mexican restaurants have, Chef Juan Luis, he's been on the show with us many times. He has a couple of restaurants called Mago, M-A-G-O.
Yeah, Mago.
And he does a whole variety of different moles. So if anyone's interested in trying something like that, the Schwani's saying, that sounds delicious.
Oh, it was great. It was
wow,
just
what a great compliment to fajitas, which, you know, normally you just throw them on the grill.
Yeah, not this time.
And you call it a day. Some onions, some peppers, beef, chicken, usually shrimp, but I like the scallops. I like the mixing it up a little bit with the scallops.
Absolutely.
And the lighter mole.
Yeah.
Maybe made with like a pistachio nut, maybe?
Yeah,
I'm
maybe
guessing.
So. Yeah. Yeah, that was just outstanding.
Fantastic.
Outstanding.
That sounds good. I made pizzas on the grill, like I always do, because that's so popular around the WGN newsroom. I made
what newsroom isn't popular with pizza?
Right? With any kind of free food, right. I made a spinach, feta cheese, and chicken sausage pizza.
Ooh.
Think about that. Chicken sausage that's usually like a little on the sweet side. Feta cheese and spinach on, you can make your own pizza dough if you want. You can buy the pre-baked ones if you want. I actually have a recipe in there for gluten-free pizza crust that's made out of polenta. You make the polenta, you form it into a pizza crust, you bake it, and then you put the toppings on it, and it's gluten-free. And on that, I made a Mexican-style pizza that had enchilada sauce as a base on it. It had roasted corn, black beans, roasted peppers, and it was fantastic and delicious. And how about a dessert pizza? Listen to this now. Dessert pizza on the base of the pizza crust, Nutella.
Nutella?
Right? Nutella, like chocolate hazelnut spread.
Yeah.
That's on the base of the pizza. And then I sliced up some strawberries, some blackberries, some raspberries, some blueberries, and sprinkled them all over. Sprinkled some white chocolate chips on top of that. Put it on the grill so it melts up a little bit. Oh, fantastic. Fantastic dessert pizza. You know, or something for the kids that they would love. I made, what else did I make? I made some seafood. Three different kinds of seafood. You've heard me talk about my famous honey mustard salmon before. That couldn't be easier. Just take a piece of salmon, skin side down on the grill, salt and pepper, and just honey mustard out of the bottle, right on top of the pizza. and you bake it for, I'm going to say, like 7 to 9 minutes, something like that. You can tell when it's done, or you can use a meat thermometer if you want. But it slides right off. Leave the skin on the grill. It slides right off. Doesn't taste fishy at all. Delicious. I made a grilled halibut, also skin side down on the grill, and salt and pepper. And then I put some mango salsa that I bought it at Jewel. I bought the mango salsa at Jewel, or you can make it or put whatever kind of citrusy topping that you want on it. It's delicious. But what was the, of the three seafoods that I made, the one that I got the most comments on, honey garlic grilled shrimp. I just took some, you know, regular uncooked shrimp, cleaned them, shelled them, put them on the grill, grilled them up, salt and pepper. I marinated them in garlic, first of all, so they had a nice garlic base to it. But then when it was done, I mixed it in with honey and crushed red peppers. Oh, it was fantastic.
That's a great combination, honey and crushed red pepper.
Yeah, it was delicious and sweet, wow. And it had a little bite to it.
Yeah.
And the grilled garlic marinated shrimp, these three flavors... all these things could not be any easier to make. They're all so simple to cook and to make. They were really, really fantastic, if I do say so myself. All the recipes are up at WG. They're on my Facebook page. That's probably the easiest place to find them. If you go to Facebook and then Dean Richards WGN, you'll find the recipes are all there. They're also at WGNTV.com. I also made three different kinds of pork tenderloin. Let me take a break. When I come back, I'll tell you about these three delicious things that you can do on the grill this weekend. Next on WGN, writing to us saying, what did you marinate that honey pepper shrimp in? Well, I marinated it overnight. I put salt and pepper on the raw shrimp. I put it in a plastic bag, a good Ziploc bag with a really good seal on it, some olive oil, enough to coat the shrimp, and then I would say I crushed maybe like three cloves of garlic, chopped it up real good, and mixed it in. Gives it an amazing garlic taste. Before you put it on the grill, though, make sure you drain off all that oil, the olive oil. Drain it all off, because if you put it on the grill... with the oil, it's going to flare up and burn everything up, and you don't want that. This is James calling in from Appleton, Wisconsin. Hi, you're on WGN.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. Hey, has Domati been there all night? I heard him at 3:30 this morning on the radio.
Through the magic of it's not recorded tape anymore, but I believe the Domati right now is recorded, yes.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
Good for you for listening that long, though.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I slept in between and went to church, you know. So
that's what my show is for.
About 20 minutes away from Lambeau, and we do have a restaurant that have Chicago style dogs. They purport to. I've never had one in my life. It doesn't turn my crank, but whenever you see an ad for a hot dog up in our area, it's always got mustard on it because it's a good visual. For me, ketchup and sweet relish on the dog.
I have to be on the hot dog. Yeah, it's pretty split on the text line right now. We brought this up because of Khalil Mack. You know, everyone's going crazy that Khalil Mack's going to. I'm sure most of you up in the Green Bay area are very excited.
We know all about him. And I just wanted to say, I'm ahead of time, I'm sorry for your loss. For the ninth, you know, we'll see you there. But talk to you about hot dogs
apologizing in advance. But what we said was, everyone's going crazy over Khalil Mack. What if we found out that he likes ketchup on a hot dog? Mm-hmm. You know, which has long been a Chicago thing, that you never, ever, ever do that.
Some fans are willing to
kick him to the side if he's a ketchup man.
We're going
to
send him a case. Right now, I'm down in Chicago, actually, right now, and Jewel has a special, I think it is. Jewel or Target has a special for a combination of hot dogs and Heinz ketchup on sale together.
You got to do what you got to do. Hey, I appreciate the call, James. Thank you very much. Have a great day today. We got to run because we're getting ready for baseball. I just want to mention real quick the these three pork tenderloins that I did cooked on TV the other day. I did a Greek style pork tenderloin with salt, pepper, garlic, oregano, and lemon, marinated in that, and then put it on the grill. I did a honey mustard pork tenderloin, which is delicious. Salt, pepper, honey mustard out of the bottle, marinate it, and put it on the grill. And an orange marmalade pork tenderloin. Now, I put salt, pepper, and garlic and marinated it, but I didn't put the pork, the orange marmalade on till it was almost done on the grill, because the sugar of the orange marmalade would burn up in a second. So put that on at the end. It'll just caramelize a little bit, and it is delicious. All of the recipes are on my Facebook page, Dean Richards WGN, or at DeanRichards@WGNTV.com. That's going to wind it up for us today. We've got Chicago White Sox baseball coming up in just a moment. And that is going to be following a check of our WGN News.